Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin, in quarter number two, we were talking about some of the sea change that's happening with college football, starting with name, image, and likeness. And I wanted to finish up that conversation because it's like, what are going to be the repercussions of this going forward? And I found a couple things that you had in your notes and a couple other interesting quotes. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, who I have absolutely nothing but respect for him and everything he's done for the conference.
Is that sarcasm, Jim?
Maybe. Anyway, his quote was, "We'll look back at this time, the summer of 2021, and the impact this will have over the next 20, 30, 40, 50, potentially 100 years of college football." I think that's a little bit arrogant to say, you know, 100 years ago, today's decisions are going to still have an effect. But if that were the case, my goodness, Kevin, you had years to worry about this and years to prepare for it. And now you're going to set the destiny of the sport for the next 100 years by, we'll take a look at it in the last 48 hours before guns to our head and July 1st arrives. I want to give you one more quote. I think it came from a conference commissioner talking about the NCAA. It needs to be nimble and adaptable. When have you ever used NCAA and nimble and adaptable in the same sentence?
Of course they need to be nimble and adaptable. Of course, everybody who in some way follows college sports knows how unnimble and unadaptable the NCAA is just by its very nature. And I do think that the leadership in that organization hides behind that. That has been my contention all along, that Mark Emmert really makes it convenient to say that we serve institutions, you know, and we serve their best interests. So when something goes wrong, or when a mistake is made, or if they're not nimble or adaptable, that is the company line, is that they're serving institutions. And somehow I will never understand why he gets extended to 2025. He gets a contract extension to 2025. What is he doing to earn that kind of faith? I mean, maybe he is serving these institutions well by not making any changes whatsoever and protecting the status quo at all costs. This is not the time to protect any status quo. And, by Kevin Warren's, measure, this is a real flashpoint in the future of college sports. You know, all the things that are coming together, and we'll touch on some of these other topics too, like the expanded college football playoff. But all these things are coming together to give athletes more rights, more earning power. They're gonna take even more of the pie when it comes to the power to determine their own fortunes. And all this stuff is on the cusp of change. And I think that's why we're talking about this right now, is there are a few things coming together that's going to change the future of college sports. And, I personally think it'll change college sports for the better. I think that the student athlete has needed more representation in some of these conversations where things happen that affect them. I think they deserve some kind of pay beyond their scholarship. Maybe that's, and that's where we're at when it comes to name, image, likeness. You can capitalize on what you've done. You're not necessarily getting a paycheck from your school. That might be coming down the road, but that's not really part of this dialogue right now. But I think there's a push for fairness, and I think it's been unfair for a long time.
It has been. And the thing is, the NCAA could have framed the conversation, could have framed the solution if they stepped up. They did not. So others are now framing the conversation. And you talked about it, Dustin. The Supreme Court came out with a ruling last week. Now, this was not about name, image, and likeness. It was talking about compensating athletes for educational needs. And the fact that the Supreme Court voted 9-0 on this topic tells you something. The Supreme Court does not vote 9-0 on anything. But they were all in agreement that the NCAA, you're just wrong. The NCAA got their ass kicked, essentially, in this determination.
This was a mercy rule contest, the Supreme Court versus the NCAA. And it's hilarious to me that the NCAA is the one who took this to the Supreme Court, thinking that at some point, taking it to higher courts, that they were gonna have support for where they were coming from. They did not have support for where they were coming from. Anybody who has an appreciation for free market enterprise, which that's what the United States and the business world is built on, is free market, make what you're worth. You know, that they would see right through the NCAA's amateurism disguise and know that, you know, as Brett Kavanaugh said, it would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. And I mean, he's right. This is antitrust stuff. And there, I think Brett Kavanaugh with that final swift blow. And by the way, I'll never think of Brett Kavanaugh without thinking of Matt Damon's impression of him on SNL from a few years ago. I mean, but that swift blow will open the door for other challenges of what the NCAA is doing. I mean, he has set some sort of precedent here. And, you know, one of the attorneys in the Austin case against the NCAA that in light of Justice Kavanaugh's comments, we're rethinking whether we should once again challenge pay for play. Kavanaugh is suggesting you should go after everything. So this is might just be the beginning of the NCAA's problems on this front. Maybe pay for play is back in the game here. Maybe we'll start to see, you know, these NCAA video games and stuff coming out again. I mean, this is, you know, this was a big thing to get beat 9-0 in the Supreme Court. It takes a special entity to make that happen, Jim. And we all know the NCAA is a very special entity.
They certainly are, Dustin, but it leads to this question, though, and now I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate. It says, the decision allows schools to provide athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it in some way is connected to their education. So, unlimited, if a football player is a history major, needs to go to Gettysburg, so we'll give them a Corvette to go to Gettysburg to study history. Is that okay?
And since the Corvette doesn't have that much resale value, why don't you just hang on to the car just in case you have to take other historic trips? And maybe, you know, maybe like if you study Gettysburg, maybe you would do very well to go down south for an extended trip. I don't expect you to drive there because that's not practical. Let's just take we'll take the company chopper. You know, we'll take the university chopper. You and James Franklin can go down there and really, really get into the nitty gritty of what was happening in the South at that time. You know, like I think it's an interesting point you raise in jest, tongue in cheek, but where are the limits on education related expenses? You know, what all can go into that? I certainly schools are going to test it.
Yeah, they certainly will. And like I said, I'm looking at this phrasing, unlimited compensation. So it becomes a case where, you're right, schools will push the limits. And there is no, I imagine different schools have different rules. If you're just a normal student, you, Dustin Hawkinsmith, are a history major, what can they do for you, you know, in the completion of your education? What can they pay for? And can, you know, schools now do this? Remember a couple years ago, Michigan, they were doing educational trips with the football team to Europe, right?
Yeah.
So that was when, you know, this new ruling wasn't in place yet, and they were doing that. So what's going to happen going forward? And that's kind of the issue here with all of these things. And again, I think a lot of people have this idea, you know, that amateurism that the NCAA was hanging on to, it doesn't work anymore. But do you just completely open up Pandora's box now? And if Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, you know, these are multi-million dollar business enterprises, and if they want to keep, you know, invest the money to make the money, will other schools be able to compete?
Well, and picture this now. Like, you've seen these presentations of, let's just say, Penn State presenting their new locker room to kids on the team. And everybody going through like, whoa, like, and the video that goes out on social media. Now, picture that being laptop day. You know, these high-powered gaming laptops that all the kids on the team get. Or, you know, Beats by Dre headphones. Like, you need those for your schooling to be able to block out the noise. There are, you know, alarm clocks for optimal I mean, there are so many different things now that can that would and could fall under that education umbrella that I think you're going to start to get mileage for. And you know, you're going to start to see some one-upsmanship when it comes to these social media presentations. You know, you're going to see these schools being like, we care for our athletes. That's why we gave them all $6,000 high-end, high-storage, you know, Apple laptops. You know, I think this is just where we are. And, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, give the football player the same opportunity to, you know, to further themselves academically or whatever as the saxophone player. But you know what? The football program is going to have a whole lot more resources than the music program is going to have. So if you want to take care of kids, you know, and their education, these football teams will do that in a way that we have never seen before.
So, Dustin, tell me, how does this end up? Where will it end up with the rich just getting richer, or can that not happen because Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State have already a monopoly on those top places in the game? What we might see is other schools getting creative in that way with an opportunity to catch up to those schools. What's going to happen?
I mean, it does present opportunities. Now, those programs you name are, you know, high on the list of ones that will be the most agile in adapting these things and being able to take advantage of these rules and being able to protect their position in the college football world. So I think, you know, the Alabamas of the world will, you know, they'll be ones who can take advantage of this better than most. But it does create some opportunity to get creative. If you're a group of five team, if you're Indiana or Maryland or Rutgers or whoever, it gives them an opportunity maybe to find a creative way to appeal to players and to, you know, to make a different type of pitch. So, I mean, it does have an opportunity for change. I just don't see it as being, you know, it's not going to change the landscape of anything in my eyes, because the powerful teams are still going to be powerful within those rules. They're still going to know how to make the rules work for them better than most.
All right, Dustin, that's going to be it for quarter number three. We haven't finished our conversation about the NCAA and college football in general. We have one more quarter to go, and we are going to hit on that 12-team playoff again. Stay tuned for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.